Good evening. This is Leif Eade in Washington once more with Pro and Con. Tonight's Pro and Con is about recession, business slowdown. It was noted by President Truman in his mid-year economic report, where he spoke of a moderate decline. While retail sales and personal incomes have held up pretty well, there has been a rather pronounced drop from last year's all-time record production. The president has advanced an 11-point program, but he also noted this. The kind of government action that would be called for in a serious economic emergency would not be appropriate now. Pro and Con's guest tonight does not agree. Our guest tonight is Henry A. Wallace, the progressive candidate for president last year and the official spokesman for his party. His subject tonight is Depressions Don't Stop Themselves. And now for Henry A. Wallace, we take you to New York.
On Monday of this week, the president handed us a bill. It was a bill for the first down payment on a 20-year program of sending arms to Western Europe. It was a bill for $1.5 billion, $50 for every American family. But that's only the first year's cost. Next year it'll be more, because modern weapons of war get more expensive all the time. We shall be lucky if at the end of 20 years we have spent less than $50 billion on the North Atlantic Pact. But no bill has yet been submitted to provide jobs for the millions of unemployed. I've come here tonight to tell the American people that when we are taxed, presumably to stop Russia and communism by shipping arms to other nations, we open the door to the real aggressors against all people everywhere. Waste, depression, hatred, and finally that supreme waste, the frustration of unemployment, the rotting away of men and resources unused. There are cynical men who tell you that our arms program puts men to work. I say that any prosperity that depends on such wasteful and criminal employment is certain to end in disaster. I say it is wasteful to produce arms when men need houses and schools and roads and hospitals. I say it is criminal to drain our resources to produce goods that no one can use except for war. And it is dishonest to say that producing arms will also produce prosperity. The administration has spent countless billions for arms, but those billions have not stopped the gathering storm of an economic crisis either at home or abroad. Spending for arms has not kept unemployment from rising at home, nor stopped the crisis abroad. When President Truman asked for military aid for Greece and Turkey in March of 1947, I said that if the Truman Doctrine were continued, the United States would bleed from every pore. And every year since then, Democrats and Republicans have joined hands in taking tens of billions of dollars away from you and me on the pretext of defending us and the world from aggression. The same men in Congress who hold up their hands in horror at the idea of using government money to create peacetime employment in the United States cheerfully vote billions to create disaster abroad. The president may well go down in history as the man who propped up the world with bayonets and tanks and airplanes while factories were closing and men and women became unemployed by the millions. Like Louis, the King of France, after him the deluge. Today, there are twice as many unemployed as last year. The administration's own figures show us that unemployment is close to 5 million. Next year, there may be 10 million, while the president and his cabinet tell us there is nothing to worry about. Like Hoover in 1930, Truman preaches that a return to prosperity is just around the corner. His Secretary of Commerce and his Secretary of the Treasury sing the same lullaby song as the Republicans sang in 1930. Just have confidence in Papa and everything will come out all right. His Secretary of the Treasury writes a soothing piece for a national magazine without a single word about the millions of men and women who have no jobs and no prospect of jobs. The president fails to realize that all Western civilization is in the grip of a worldwide cataclysm. Truman would stop the storm by building a wall of armaments. But the real answer is to provide abundance for the common man in all lands. Walls of guns will only accelerate the catastrophe, not delay it. And our own fabulously efficient capitalism will, through its very efficiency, bring about its own downfall unless it provides the means to buy the goods it produces. We have proved ourselves marvelously efficient. Today we are producing three great surpluses. A surplus of goods that families cannot buy. A surplus of arms that no one wants, and a surplus of men who cannot find jobs. It is no answer to say that 1949 is not 1929. It is no answer to point to government safeguards that did not exist in 1929. That's the Maginot Line type of economic thinking. It is like placing dependence on sandbags and small reservoirs as a permanent flood control project. When a really big flood comes raging down from the mountains, the sandbags are no protection, and the little dams, when they break, make the flood only greater. The president has no program to provide jobs because he has no understanding of what is happening at home or in the world, and he is tied to a false and disastrous foreign policy. He does not see that the key to our continued prosperity is that more people must have more money to buy the goods we produce. The big truth is that the men and women who work for wages and salaries today are getting a smaller portion of what the nation produces than they got in the war years. They need a bigger portion. It is no answer to say that savings are high. The truth is that one-third of American families have no savings, and that most of the savings are in the hands of the top 10%. The wealthy 10% can't buy all the products of our farms and factories. That is why there are 3 million fewer people working this summer than last summer. That is why farmers are making one-tenth less money. That is why business failures have doubled in less than a year. The president tells us the decline in industrial production has only been moderate. But as I look at those figures, I see that the decline in the last 7 months is as great as the decline in the first 7 months of the 1929-1930 bust. To reverse that moderate decline would require a substantial increase in wages, an enormous increase in spending by government or business. Does anyone believe that the president has a peaceful plan to increase any of these activities? The president and the Congress may give the economy another military shot in the arm, but that only means the patient will keep going for a short time and then fall flat on his face. Congress is already balking at high spending. At long last, sensible men in Congress are beginning to call for disarmament. More and more, the people see through the fallacy of spending more for arms and less for jobs and prosperity. On Monday, the president asked for $1.5 billion for more arms to Europe. His arms message was urgent. But 2 weeks ago, when he announced his domestic program, there was no urgency. Of course not. And the result is that the Brannan Farm Program has been dropped by Congress. There is no effective minimum wage increase, and there is only a token payment for public works. The president is full of pledges against aggression when there are no signs of aggression. But he is strangely silent and fails to recognize the real aggression of creeping unemployment. Nothing in the president's report to the nation 2 weeks ago gives me so much concern as his remark that the situation today does not require strong positive measures. Too little and too late can ruin us just as certainly in peace as in war. The president cannot take strong and positive measures because he is tied hand and foot by his commitment to a $22 billion spending program for the Cold War. He tells the nation that we can afford $22 billion, and now another $1.5 billion, to fight the Cold War. But we cannot spend any billions for jobs for men and women at home. On the same day, the president called for $155 million to stimulate arms production in Europe. His roving ambassador in Europe said we must cut help for modernizing European agriculture. In other words, the Truman-Harriman directive is to produce Tommy guns, not tractors. We have spent over $20 billion building a wall against Eastern Europe. We now propose to man that wall with arms. But at that very moment, economic necessity begins to smash that wall. Britain, the nation which has received more American aid than any other nation, to keep her a willing partner, is now in effect calling off the Cold War. Britain is now substituting a trade agreement with Russia for the Cold War. A blunt economic need is driving all of Western Europe to conclude similar agreements with the East. Here in the United States, leadership in Congress is slowly emerging to fight the insane course of world military action which is fostered by the administration. to save the world, we must smash militarism and at the same time provide jobs. We must defeat the appropriations for the arms program as a necessary step to meeting the needs of the unemployed. We must immediately raise unemployment benefits to $35 a week for a period of 52 weeks. Congress should also stop delaying extension of veterans' benefits by passing the Veterans 5220 bill. But Americans have a right to a job, not merely relief. Therefore, I urge a bold public works program. We can double and quadruple our spending for housing. Communities badly need schools and roads and hospitals throughout the nation. We must construct and develop our river valleys. All these things mean jobs. Peaceful jobs, productive jobs, jobs at decent pay that will produce goods that we can use, not arms. We are not immune from the growing world crisis, nor can we stop it by arms. If we really want to help the world in order to help ourselves, then I say we must move at once to set up a worldwide development fund through the United Nations in place of the one-sided, wasteful funds we are now spending abroad to build up arms. Several years ago, I said that a bold new approach of this sort would cost us $5 billion a year for 10 years. Since that time, we have spent far more and only brought on a world crisis. I propose, too, that we recognize with as much realism as Britain has recognized that the time has come to sit down and talk business with Russia, with Eastern Europe, and with China. The President should immediately appoint a trade mission to those countries and offer to work out trade agreements. The truth is, there are 1,000 factories in America that could provide 1 million jobs if our trade with Russia and Eastern Europe were on the same basis as our trade with the rest of Europe, and if our trade with China were put on the same basis as our trade with the rest of Asia. Yes, this will cost some money, but it will be a fraction of the billions upon billions we shall lose if we do nothing now and let a shattering depression sweep over us. If the United States does not take a strong and positive step to build one prosperous world at peace, if we do not take the offensive against the creeping aggression of unemployment, there will come a time when the depression of the early 30s will seem very mild. I don't want to see my children and your children go through the heartaches of that kind of a depression. I don't want to see the world rot again in the midst of abundance. Nobody knows when the really big time of trouble will come, but every thoughtful person knows that to prevent it, we must adopt an approach which is really new, which is really bold, in terms of people and not in terms of words or politics.
And now back to Leif Eed in Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro and Con has just presented Henry A. Wallace, progressive candidate for president last year and the official spokesman for the Progressive Party, in a talk on Depressions Don't Stop Themselves. Of the points mentioned by Mr. Wallace, the special Veterans Unemployment Plan, 5220, has lapsed, although its extension was recommended by President Truman. The House Ways and Means Committee has a bill on changes in Social Security, but its contents have not yet been disclosed. The President has also announced a program for increased government buying in areas particularly hard hit by unemployment. But there does seem to be an agreement between the President and Congress that our economy has great reserves, that the recession will be comparatively short-lived, and that no major action on the part of the government is called for at this time. And now, this is Leif Eed in Washington saying good night until next Friday evening at this same time.
Pro and Con is a public service feature presented by the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. Each week at this time, Pro and Con presents a prominent guest discussing subjects of topical interest. This program came from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The preceding program was transcribed. KFI and KFI-FM, Los Angeles.